Man, you can study it, you can stack it, you can rack it, you can pack it. But love always sides on the side of what's true. There was one brother, and he was trying to present a strong case for unrighteousness. And this is what he said. Am I wrong to fall so deeply in love with you? Knowing I got a wife and two little children depending on me too. Am I wrong to hunger for the gentleness of your touch? Knowing I got three at home who need me just as much. Your mommy and daddy say it's a shame. It's a downright disgrace. As long as I got you by my side, I don't care what people say. Your friends tell you it's no future in loving a married man. But if I can't see you when I want, I'll see you when I can. Now somebody help me. I forgot the rest of it. How does the rest of it go? I forgot. Somebody help me. Mary, how's it go? If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Look at this brother. He was presenting a case as to why adultery was right. And he said, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. And then the brother got desperate because he said, I don't want to be right if it means being without you. I'd rather live wrong than be right.
Welcome to Encourage in Jesus, teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist. Thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 5, from our series, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 5.
Strongest argument. You can have the strongest argument in the world as to why you should do wrong. Man, you can study it, you can stack it, you can rack it, you can pack it. But love always sides on the side of what's true. There was one brother, and he was trying to present a strong case for unrighteousness. And this is what he said. Am I wrong to fall so deeply in love with you, knowing I got a wife and two little children depending on me too? Am I wrong to hunger for the gentleness of your touch, knowing I got three at home who need me just as much? Your mommy and daddy say it's a shame, it's a downright disgrace. As long as I got you by my side, I don't care what people say. Your friends tell you it's no future in loving a married man, but if I can't see you when I want, I'll see you when I can. Now somebody help me. I forgot the rest of it. How does the rest of it go? I forgot. Somebody help me. Mary, how's it go? If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Look at this brother. He was presenting a case as to why adultery was right. And he said, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. And then the brother got desperate because he said, I don't want to be right if it means being without you. I'd rather live wrong than be right. Wow, that's deep. That's deep. He was bent on wrongdoing. What is true love? See, love doesn't even have that argument. Love always sides with the truth. It's wrong, brother. It's wrong for you to leave your wife and two little children that's dependent on you too. It's wrong. The truth is, you need to get your life right. And you need to do the right thing. And get out of this relationship over here. It's wrong. This relationship is wrong. The truth, love always sides with the truth. And that's why Paul says here that love rejoices in the truth. Look what he says. And now he moves to a series of all things. In verse 7, he says, Love beareth all things, love believeth all things, love hopeth all things, and love endureth all things. The Greek meaning of the word beareth means to cover or protect. Love tries to cover and protect others from harm or danger. The practical meaning is that love tries to protect others from embarrassment, harm, and gossip. Let me just read down this and I'll come back. Love protects the person and not the sin. Love covers a person's faults by exposing them to as few people as possible. And then, you know, I talk about love is willing to be quiet. And then I talk about, see the previous point. Love is willing to be quiet about others' shortcomings for the sake of helping to save their dignity and reputation. Now, let me say this. Love covers a multitude of sin. And when we see sin in somebody's life, what Paul says our attitude should be. Look at the Greek word. Look at the Greek word. The Greek word is birth. Beareth, and it comes from the word stego, which means to cover or protect. That's what the word, to cover or protect. What love does is when it sees someone who has committed a fault. As believers, our position should be, how can I cover my brother or sister? Now, it may be necessary for me to go and deal with others on this situation, because this thing over here is devastating. This thing, this sin right here is devastating, and this person is either going to self-destruct, or they're going to destroy somebody else, or they're going to hurt the testimony and the body of Christ. So, you know, I may have to bring in, let me be prayerful about this one person if I need to at all. If I need to at all. Let me be prayerful about this one person that I need to bring in to help me deal with this situation. Because, see, my posture is that I want this person to keep their dignity. I want them to keep their self-respect. I want them to come out of this feeling like they were ministered to and some healing was brought forth. But you know what I find in the body of Christ? That instead of us seeing something and trying to cover it up, and when I say cover it up, I'm not saying sweep it under the rug and act like it didn't happen. That's not what I'm saying now. Don't get me wrong. The word says it bears all things. It covers. You know, I'm concerned about my brother or my sister. And you know what? There's nothing in the world that I want to see happen to them that will strip away their dignity or take away their self-respect. So even though this issue has to be dealt with, I'm going to keep it as confined as possible because I want them to come out. You know, and the issue is not about me. The issue is not about this or that. The issue is how can I love my brother or sister in this situation. But you know what? Oftentimes what we want to do is we want to get on the 4 o'clock news, Channel 4 news, and we want to broadcast it. Hey! Brother so-and-so, oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you what he did. And we get on the phone, or, oh, God help us. God help me now. God help me. Look, I got something I want you to pray about with me. Okay. All right. Knowing well that, you know, we're not thinking about prayer. You know, I got a juicy piece of news that I want somebody else to know, and I just got to get it out. All right. Love, I like the term, it covers. It covers, it protects the other person. You know, I would pray that if you ever heard something about Pastor Glaze, that, you know what, I'm going to be honest with you. If I hear stuff about Bethany members, the first thing in my mind, because I'm your pastor, no, I can't receive it. I'm not going to receive it unless that person comes to me themselves and tells me that this is what they did. I can't receive it. Yeah. Not Pastor Glaze. Not. Brother Van, Brother Jeff, maybe they're not. Just kidding. Pastor Glaze. You know, that would be my first pause. You know what? When this pastor in Colorado fell, and they put his stuff all over the news about this guy had been with this another man, and it was all on the news. You know, the first thing, and I might, maybe I'm just naive, saints. Y'all pray for me. Maybe I'm just naive. I couldn't receive it. I just said, you know, I don't believe a man of God that's pastoring a church of thousands of people, that's head of an organization of 10,000 of people, I just don't believe he would do something like that. And I just couldn't, because another brother in Christ, I'm just okay. And then when he came out and he said that he did it, you know, it was through it. You know, okay. Now I can receive it. Now I can receive it. But man, we get stuff that, you know, we get a little corner or something. And we done ran and built a whole case now that we got to get Joe Friday to come in and dissect. Man, saints, you know, and that's what love covers. You know, if you love somebody, you know, you cover for them. And once again, when I say cover, I don't mean in the sense of sweeping it under the rug. But I'm talking about, it says, look, how can I take my brother or sister in? And how can we love them through this situation? How can we deal with it and bring in the least amount of people as possible? You know, because my thing is not to tell it all over the place, but how can we deal with this in the smallest possible arena and deal with it effectively? Love believeth all things. Love believeth all things. The meaning of the word is that love is not gullible, but it has faith in others. It believes the best in other people. How about you? Do you believe the best in other people? Love looks for good qualities in others. Love gives others the benefit of the doubt. Once again, it doesn't jump to conclusions. You know, some of us ought to be tired because we get exercise and we don't even go to the gym. Instead of jumping rope, we jump to conclusions. So love does not jump to conclusions, but it gives the other person the benefit of the doubt. And love believes the best about the other person until there is concrete evidence or a concrete reason to believe otherwise. That's love. You know, I think of Job's three friends. They came to comfort. Here, Job, man. Job lost his family. He lost his health. He lost his possessions. He's sitting at a dump scraping pus off his arms, and his friends come to comfort him. And instead of comforting, what's the first thing that they do? I mean, this is right in the text if you go back and read it. I'm just putting it the way Pastor Glay said. Hey, Job, I know you got a lady on the side. That's why you have all these problems. Go back and read. If you want, it's there. It's there. Read the book of Job. It's there. Yeah, Job, you got a lady on the side. That's why you having these problems. Or and then another friend came off. Well, Job, you know, you think you all righteous and everything, but you know, maybe along the way you mistreated somebody and you offended somebody, and now you're paying for the consequences of that. And instead of them, these are his friends. These are the people that are coming to comfort him, and they don't believe. They don't believe in him. They don't believe in him. Love believes in a person. Oh, I know that we all have been let down by somebody in our life. We have all been discouraged by someone in our life. And, you know, I praise God for my wife. Because, you know, there's been a lot of disappointments that we've had to deal with. And I'll say this. I praise God for my wife because, you know what? My wife can bounce back and be right back in there. I mean, man, she'll do what she got to do, hurt whatever. But man, she's back in there again. Me, on the other hand, I just have a hard time bouncing back. Sometimes I'm gonna be honest. Y'all pray for me. Sometimes I have a hard time bouncing back from some things. But you know, you still got to believe in people. You still have got to believe in people. And that's what Paul's saying here, that no matter how much they've let you down, no matter how much they've discouraged you, no matter how much they've broken your heart, that if you love them, you still got to try to believe in them. You got to look for some good qualities in that person. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If I ever hear that somebody's mother gave up on their child, I say, you know what I say? That person must be a pretty bad person. Because when nobody else believes in you and everybody else has given up on you, mom still loves you. Mom still believes in you. You know, I praise God for my mother, man. There was some things. I'll be honest with you. Like many of you, I was a knucklehead growing up. I mean, I just was a knucklehead growing up. And I got involved in things that I never should have got involved in. I mean, I got involved in some serious things. You know, I remember one time over in Braddock. I think I was about 15 or 16 years old. You know, we pulled into a gas station on Braddock Avenue, and we didn't have money for gas. We put gas in the car and pulled off, stole the gas. Now, that wasn't the bad thing. You know what the bad thing was? Is that the car stalled as we came up through Rankin, right in front of the Rankin police station. It stopped right in front of the Rankin police station. You know how you come up underneath the Rankin Bridge and we had made that turn? It stopped right there. It stopped right there. The policeman just came out. He just came on out, man. Get it. Come on. Get it. I believe he was laughing. Just get in the car, man. Took us over to the jail. You know what? Mom. When everybody else gives up on you, mom still believes in you, man. And my mom prayed. My mom talked to me. And, you know, I just think, you know, my brother Gary is here today, and, you know, I thank God for him because, you know, he's been a great example. And when my mother got sick, he was there all the time for her, all the time. And she was so proud of him. But another thing that my mother said that she was so proud of was the fact that she had two sons who were pastors. And you know what? She believed in us. Nobody else did. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Paul said that love is not gullible. My mom was not gullible, but she still kept believing in us. She still kept believing. See, Saint, no matter how bad the situation is, don't stop praying for the person. Don't stop praying for them. Keep on praying for them and bombard the gates of heaven every day with prayers for that individual. Paul said that love believes in other people. And like I said, praise God for my wife, because she's hung in there. And I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be spirit-filled and walking with God and all this stuff. And I just have a hard time sometimes moving past some things. Thank God for those who continue to believe in people. Love hopes all things. The word hope means to have an optimistic expectation. Love does not focus on the past faults of others. Love looks ahead for the best in others. Love does not give way to the pessimism and cynicism, but love believes that God can work all things together for good. Love never loses hope. You know, I heard the story about a man who was moving out of town, and I guess he didn't want to take his dog with him, and he went and got on the airplane and left, and the dog came to the airport and saw the guy when he got ready to leave. And it's a documented case that the dog stayed at the airport 5 years waiting for this man to come back, waiting for this man to come back. Paul says that we should have hope, that we should have hope. We should be like that dog. You know, that I don't know if the man was coming back or not, but that dog sure was waiting like he was coming. He sure was hoping like he was coming. And when we deal with situations in our lives where we've dealt with hurt, where we've dealt with people who have taken advantage of us, the Bible says that love hopes all things, that love continues until the day that you die or that person dies. Love continues to hold out hope for that individual, As long as there's breath in their body, as long as there's breath in your body, you still got a hope that God is going to work all things together for good to them who love the Lord. And then finally, love endures all things. Love endures all things. This is a military term and is used of an army holding a vital position at all costs. Love withstands the onslaughts of the most difficult situations. Love, when love is under attack, love continues to stand. The word, Greek word here is hupomene, from the Greek word huper, which means under, and the word meno, which means to abide. And what it means is that love abides underneath the load, that things can be put on and on and on and on and on love. But love continues to stand strong. Love continues to abide underneath the load. That's what love does. Love stands strong under any circumstance, and love stands strong no matter what the cause. As I conclude this morning, I want to conclude with this example. There was, when I first came to Bethany, there was an elderly couple that were members here. And they came, would come to church, and then he got sick. And I didn't see him anymore, because she was staying at home and taking care of him. I would go over there, and at first, you know, I would see him in the bed, and she would be sitting beside the bed. And then another time I went back over there, he was sitting in a chair. And I said, "Sister," I said, "how in the world did he get out of the bed into the chair?" She said, "Pastor, the doctors came and said that he can't lay in this bed, that every day he has to get up out of this bed and sit in the chair." And every day, now I'm not talking about a 30, 40, 50, I'm talking about, this lady was in her 70s. She said, "Pastor, every day I wrestle with him and I get him off of that bed and I sit him in the chair." And I came back and I told the deacons here at the church. And then our deacon started going over there once a day and helping her to lift him up out of that bed and put him in the chair. I kept going over there. She said, "Pastor," she said, "I got to change his diapers 3 or 4 times a day. Pastor, I got to take his food, and I got to mash it up, and I got to strain it, and I got to feed it to him." I just sat back, and I looked at that, and I said, "Man, this thing is serious. This is heavy." And then I look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul said, "Love endureth all things." What was she doing? She was enduring through it all. And I went over there. I never heard a complaint. I never heard a murmur from her. That was a man that she loved, a man that had taken care of her all of his life. And now he needed her, and she was right there for him. Because love endureth all things. That's love. You want to look at love? You know, and a lot of times when I'm dealing with premarital couples, I'll give them that illustration. And the reason I give them that illustration is to let them know, what if it comes to this? Are you willing to stick with this person through that? Because if you're not, then you don't really love them. You don't love them like the Bible says. Love. Brothers and sisters, where's your love at?
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 6. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 5, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 5. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 5. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.